Hello and welcome to this breaking news episode of What Most People Think. And of course, there will be a roundup as usual from some of the big stories that have built up in the week, from Rachel Reeves blaming everything but herself. And our first PMQs back after conference season. Starmer was under pressure there, and then we got some more late night spy developments to catch up on. But you join us in the white heat of Jeff getting cancelled. I'm in the process of being cancelled on TikTok by the town of Aldershot, right? So as you know, it's one of the bigger rooms on the tour. It's sold all right. I just want more people to be there. So I made a video of what I thought was quite clearly a tongue-in-cheek call-out of the people of Aldershot, which didn't exactly go down that well. Let me just play you. I might play you all of it now.
People of Aldershot, seriously, man, I was good enough to bring my show to your squalid little town this Saturday, and I just found out that it's only 65% sold. I'm like, what's going on? What is going on? What else is there to do in Aldershot on a Saturday night? Have takeaway or watch squaddies beat up somebody outside Yates's? I don't know, you're probably the last town in Britain to even have a Yates's. And you know what really gets me is I could have gone Guildford, I could have sold out another show in Guildford, easy. Farnham, nicer restaurants, you know. But no, I said, you know, people have also, they don't have much in their lives, and this will be a nice treat for them. But as we stand, unless it gets up to 75%, that is it, we're done.
Okay, so maybe you listen to the podcast and you will have a head start on realising that I was taking the piss, right? I would have thought even starting anything with people of Aldershot calling it a squalid little town, I mean, moaning about it being 2/3 sold, which isn't even that bad, and then claiming that I wasn't going to come unless it sold 75%, which isn't even that much more, making jokes about Yates's wine. Anyway, right, this did not go down well. I did this video last night. By the way, if you came to the show in Swindon last night, thanks, that was a great crowd. And then I woke up and Jesus Christ, some of the comments, I mean, 90% of them were like, who are you? You're a prick. Arsehole. You're shit at PR. Don't come here. I mean, really, most of them are, who are you? A lot of spelling errors, I'm going to say it. There's one guy that said, what did he say? I was almost offended, Jeff, but then it dawned on me, I haven't a clue who you are. Well, you just said Jeff, all right? Secondly, why would whether or not you know who I am determine... Anyway, so I've had to... the promoter got a bit spooked, so I've had to do an apology to the people of Aldershot. And basically all I did was repeat the same things that I'd said and also just do a little drive-by comment on Godalming as well. So, you know, this is a lesson. You know what pisses me off, and I mentioned this in the video, is on TikTok, I haven't been able to get anything to go viral or even do like 1,000 views. I do some stupid tongue-in-cheek video about Aldershot. Suddenly, I've got some restraining order and I can't go any closer than Farnham. All right, we've got a stack of new patrons. Stack, that was a wanky word. We've got some new patrons. Remember, if you join the podcast, if you join the Patreon, you get it early, ad-free, and with bonus content. And of course, I'll give your name a little roast, unless you say otherwise, right? If you join up, you don't want to be roasted, A, you can just give me a first name, or B, you can say to me, Jeff, I work for the university. I'm on some course about gender and women's studies, so maybe it'd be best if I wasn't outed. But we've got some good names here. All fellas. Jay Alexander. Jay Alexander sounds like... Do you remember, like, in the early noughties, you started seeing those clips of the child prodigy footballers? Maybe Theo Walcott was one of the first ones, but Jay Alexander. Do you remember, like, you started to get... It was that weird, creepy thing where clubs started to get excited about, like, nine-year-olds. Oh, mate, Arsenal got some player called Jay Alexander, you know. So Jay Alexander, the most upcoming left midfielder in the country. We've got Dave Lakeland. I think I recognise you, Dave. A former patron. There's nothing better than... Come back, Dave. You know, sit down in your favourite chair and I'll bring you a sausage roll. Dave Lakeland sounds like the guy that was Jay Alexander's kind of little league coach. You know, like when they do that weird reunion thing and everyone pretends to be emotional. Dave Lakeland and Andy Rice. Andy Rice, welcome to the Patreon. You are now the youth development coach at Arsenal. You're some guy that it turns out actually did play like 20 games for Arsenal, but no one remembers. So Andy Rice, he's running the youth academy there. And keeping the football theme going, Danny Knowles, he'd be a guy that I reckon got as far as like, well, in old money, the third division, really highly rated player, but was a bit of a late, like a legend in his own postcode, Danny Knowles, like always seen falling out of the bookies. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had an affair with his hairdresser. You know, like, just absolute 90s ledge. Danny Knowles. So you are all very welcome. And we're going to keep going with the piss take prices thing. That seems to have landed. And my producer, by the way, I haven't mentioned the producer of the show, Will, really good bloke. And he edits the show. And he pointed out that we should make it like a kind of star in a reasonably priced car leaderboard thing, like we used to do for the cuss count, for the people who have listened to the podcast for a while. So I opened up with, what was it? It's $3.99 for a Sprite at a WH Smith airport. An airport WH Smith. So I've had somebody get in touch. Remember, you can email whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com, or you can contact me directly through the website. Richard's been in touch. He said, great show with Francis Foster. Yeah, that one was a good laugh, that one. He said, I went to Leeds Arena 10 days ago. First up, if they're charging high prices in Leeds, then the game really is fucked. And I got the first round in of a bottle of the cheapest white wine, one pint of beer and two small bottles of water for £53.85. I'm going to be honest, Richard, everyone living down south is probably going, that's not that bad. Now I know you're in Leeds, fucking for £53.85 for fucking. But I'm thinking two bottles of small water coming in at maybe £3-4 each, that's £8. One pint of beer, no, I don't know actually. One pint of beer, arena beer, is going to be £8-9, so then you're up to 16s. So we're talking 30 odd quid for a bottle of wine. It's up there. I'll give you that. I will apply the Yorkshire coefficient there and say that makes it onto leaderboard. Not in a very high position, but it certainly earns a place. I'll give you one of mine for this week. Because I'm a wanker now, I went to a Joe and the Juice because, touring hard, immune system struggling. So I thought, I've got to have some matcha piku fucking berry shit. And I ordered this thing that I thought was going to basically make me a better person. And it came up on the thing, £9.60. All the people from Yorkshire right now just fucking, like, their blood pressure just spiked. But £9.60. And I was like, sorry, love, I'm so naive in these situations. I was like, I think that's for the previous order. Maybe, I don't know, they bought a house here or took out a bank loan. No, £9.60. So shame on you, Joe and the Juice. I think you're level first now with WH Smith's.
What most people think.
The thank you. I did politics live this week. Still be on the iPlayer if you want to have a look at it. It was interesting, man. I was the rose between the Scottish Labour and SNP thorn. I was between Pete Wishart and a Labour MP called Mel. I can't remember her surname. Sorry about that. But it was interesting. It's just so interesting to go on those shows as just essentially a punter, because you don't have any party line. And when they say something that's bollocks, you can just chip in and point out, hey, that sounded like bollocks. So Pete Wishart is a good bloke. I mean, he's SNP. Other than that, a good bloke. And he said, he was talking about Brexit being at fault for the economy and stuff like that. And he said, if you leave a big, long-standing union, you're going to take an economic hit. I was like, the main reason the SNP is set up is to leave a long-standing, successful economic union. And I don't know if you just didn't expect me to say it, but they really need to have a better answer for that, if the SNP, because they are starting to make noises again about independence. It's almost like there's Holyrood elections in May, and they know that there's not going to be an Indy ref, but they're like, fuck it, it's our USP. So that was funny. And then also, they were talking about this guy, this shitbag that had threatened Nigel Farage to kill him and rightly got sentenced to 5 years. And they were talking about whether or not he'd be deported back where he came from after that. And the Labour MP and Pete Wishart was sort of like, as you'd expect, saying, well, it's terrible, you cannot threaten MP's safety and all this kind of business. But both of them stopped short of saying that person should lose their right to be in Britain. And it's so funny because no one thinks I'm radical anymore. But every once in a while, you just get the option to just sit there and go, oh, yeah, I'll say the incredibly radical thing. Yeah, maybe the person that was granted either a refugee or asylum, refugee status or asylum here, having made like a credible threat of violence against the British MP, yeah, maybe they should be deported. Call me Edgelord. The fuck you. The fuck you is vets. So it came out this week, the price of going to a vet rose at double the rate of inflation over, I think, a 7-year period, like 63%, something mental. And what a piss take. Every once in a while, the price of stuff just goes up. There's no real... You never really get an explanation for why. I remember in the noughties, suddenly parking in town centres just went up. David Domain might have an answer for that. Maybe they're bought up by private equity firms or whatever. Maybe someone just bought up a bunch of vets and just said, I reckon we could charge more for this. People love their vets. They don't want them to die or be in pain. And they don't want to look bad for wanting them to be put down. So let's just take the piss. Let's suggest mad shit for their pets that pet owners feel guilty about. Let's suggest that their hamster needs a hip replacement. And then, you know, when the person feels so bad that they can't say no to that because they sound cruel, then let's charge the insurance company a ridiculous rate for that. And then the owners of the pets will then just, they won't really see it until their premium comes through. And yeah, let's just fleece people. So yeah, you vets can also have a place on piss take prices. Okay, we're going to start off with the unemployment news this week, and Rachel Reeves basically rolling the pitch for, well, nothing that's good. All the bad stuff she's going to do, we're back to Rachel, you made me do this, Reeves. So, having made an absolute bollocks of winter fuel and also, you know, trying to get their own party to sign off on tackling the huge, I mean, what is it, 6.5 million people just on out of work benefits, sickness benefit type thing? I don't know. Fact check me. But it's a lot of people, right? It's a lot of people. You know, ADHD, getting mobility. I'm going to throw all the cliches at you. You can feel free to fact check all of that. But having messed up like the winter fuel in particular, Labour have kind of belatedly, the Labour AI is learning belatedly, but in a weird way, because they're rolling the pitch now, way out. You know, the budget isn't till the end of November, which is great because you have maximum amount of economic uncertainty there. Awesome. But she's rolling the pitch now for any kind of tax, wealth tax, pensions raid. Why is it also pensions raid? It just makes them sound like dashing pirates of the pensions high seas. I don't think it will be income tax. Weirdly, it could have been. That's where Labour should kick them. They should kick themselves because at last election, people were so fed up with the Tories. Labour's so obviously going to win. And then there was one like debate where Rishi Sunak absolutely floored Keir Starmer by, get this, being a Tory leader who suggested that Labour might raise taxes. Starmer, how could he have possibly predicted that? He was caught napping. Sunak repeated it loads of times, and then Labour double, triple, quadrupled down on the idea that they weren't going to raise any taxes on working people. At the time, if they would have gone, look, it's a shit show, things will get better, we've got to do this, we're hopeful that we can reduce that by the next Parliament, it would have been fine. Now they can't do it. Yeah. So they're blaming anything else. It's Brexit, it's global economic headwinds, it's tariffs, it's Cape Verde qualifying for the World Cup somehow. By the way, the number of teams qualifying for the next World Cup is insane. Like they've opened it up too much. Cape Verde have qualified, I don't know, Papua New Guinea, do you know what I mean? The Falklands, fucking, it's just, the kind of places qualifying for the World Cup all sound like places that are susceptible to invasion by either Trump, Putin or Xi Jinping. Did I pronounce that right? Don't think I've ever said his name out loud before. And I suppose the question a lot of people ask, right? All right, fine, you know, but how long will you be in power, the Labour Party, and you as Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, and it not be somebody else's fault, right? How about the fact that you can't seem to cut spending at all? I mean, Jesus Christ, even the proposed cuts to benefits were to slow the rate of increase. And Labour MPs are like, no, I'm not having that. Well, slow the rate of giant increase. Are you joking? Are you cruel measure that is? What about the people that have to pay the taxes? Anyway, so, you know, despite having a super majority, they evidently, I mean, everything's changed, right? This is partly why borrowing rates have gone up, because Labour had a couple of opportunities, winter fuel, which I thought if the policy had been right and the preparation had been right, it should have been okay. No, can't do that. Can't do any spending cuts. And now we see like the real world effects in the economy, you know, and this week it come out that unemployment is up again. It's been up, hasn't it been up more or less every month since Labour have been in power? Inflation is up as well. And, you know, when I was on Politics Live, this Labour MP, she was saying we steadied the economy. And I was like, this is another thing like 14 years of chaos. We steadied the economy. It was steady. Okay, yes, for whatever reason, right, and people debate whether or not the reasons why, things were turbulent under Liz Truss. Mortgage rates did go up quicker than they otherwise would have. They still would have gone up in the end, but they went up a bit quicker, right? But then Rishi and Jeremy, they did sort of sort it out, didn't they? They came in and inflation went back down and the economy was growing, you know, the unemployment wasn't ticking up at the same rate it is now. I honestly think Rishi underrated. Yeah, I'm saying it, underrated Rishi. I think we will look back and say, man, that guy came in at the worst possible time and wasn't that shit. In the modern era, that's actually like a massive win. But, you know, anyway, we were angry that Rishi didn't use an umbrella and he came back from a thing too early. But look, I just think, you know, national insurance on jobs, everyone said it's going to cool the jobs market. Everyone said that, but they did it, right? And then, you know, dishing out pay rises to certain groups of people. And they said that that was going to cause a spike in inflation. And that happened. So just at what point do they take, you know, do they stop blaming other people and take some fucking responsibility?
What most people think.
I mean, I suppose maybe it's a bit far-fetched to think that Labour just go, you know what, this is on us. I don't know, mate, do you know what? No one's ever tried that and gone, yeah, you know what? We could have done it differently. But they, you know, they're never going to do that. And they're looking around for things to blame. I mean, the thing with blaming Brexit, and we just touched on this briefly with Francis, is that it will be weird for people that, you know, even people that are very receptive to the idea that Brexit is to blame for everything from, you know, poor economic performance to the breakdown of their marriage. They, I feel like this podcast somehow, having pissed off the people of Aldershot, I just subconsciously like there's several other groups I'm going to wind up. But fuck it, I'm in that sort of mood. With Brexit, like, the problem is that they sort of forgot about Brexit. Having tried to push for a second referendum, right? Having, as a party, largely pushed against Brexit, tried to stymie it. Then 2019 happened. Then they're sort of, we need to respect the outcome. You needed to respect it when it happened, maybe. Britain has spoken, you know, and in some weird time lapse, you know, 4 years later, we have got that message. And it's totally a debate on, you know, what is the ongoing impact of Brexit? Where would the British economy have been otherwise, right? Most economists seem to think it might have been in a better position, but the scale of that is up for debate, right? But the point is, you forgot about it. You forgot about it while you were caught in the red wall. You forgot about it for several years, even while Remainers were screaming at you to talk about it. And then lo and behold, you're in the shitter, you're up again, you know, you've got a common enemy in Farage, and then suddenly, oh yeah, yeah, Brexit. How bad was Brexit, everybody, hey? Brexit, remember that? It's just not authentic at all. It's not authentic, like so much of this Starmer administration. So, you know, I just wonder, you know, you have to take the credit for the good stuff and the blame for the bad stuff. That's politics, baby. That's, you know, the Tories had, like, there was such an obvious argument as to why immigration spiked so violently as it did under Tories, right? Yes, there was Boris granting a lot of visas, but there was also, you know, global shit happening. There was a bottleneck after COVID. There was Ukraine, there was Hong Kong, there was Afghan. There was all that stuff. But the truth is, the British probably don't give a shit. You're in charge, right? Tell me what's gone wrong and tell me how much of the blame you're willing to take and how you're going to start making it better. Just quickly, upcoming shows. I'm definitely not going to slag off these places. So let's mention a few places and be very polite about them. Reading, beautiful place. It definitely doesn't look like it's spelt Reading. Chelmsford, just, oh my God, nowhere near enough fake town there. Redditch, one of the most beautiful high streets I've ever seen. Monmouth is not up itself. Newcastle is, I can't start. I love Newcastle. Even in an ironic way, I can't slag it off. Bridport, poor man's Exeter. Exeter is a poor man's Plymouth. That's just plainly not true. But look, anyway, there are, Jesus Christ, we're halfway through this leg of the tour. We are literally halfway through. So listen, there's another London date. If you fancy coming and see me live, best show I've ever done, get on Live Nation. I think I'm speaking very fast in this episode, and that's because I'm overstretched and maybe I'm in a bit of a manic phase. But let's talk about PMQs this week. And if you're a nerd like me, it was an exciting one. Yeah, really exciting. Post-conference, context. It had so much context. Starmer survived the onslaught of Andy Burnham's fucking deluded attempt to seize power. And Kemi sort of thrived in the poorly attended, no one gives a shit Tory conference, right? She did well. She did good, Kemi. She got something. She made a story. Stamped you, right? So she's stepping up to PMQs with the Chinese spy thing swirling. And it's not an open goal, right? But it's 3-on-2, counter-attack. You know, she's on the penalty spot, just waiting for somebody to roll it across. It's a good... Anyway, the football analogy went too far. So, right, she's got a chance here. And Starmer then got to do an announcement before PMQs started. And I sort of wonder why he gets to... I mean, it's obviously easier for him if he just lays out a bunch of stuff and shoots lots of her foxes. And, you know, I mean... The speaker's supposed to be impartial. I know he was angry about all this Chinese spy stuff, but did sort of throw me back to when the SNP man, when they had their day where they got to table stuff and Keir Starmer was around, all the very tense thing over Gaza, very difficult for the Labour Party, and Starmer went to Lindsay Hoyle and said, look, I'm genuinely worried about the safety of my career, but my MPs. Anyway, Kemi comes hearing out of the blocks, right? Comes hearing out of the blocks. She's on good form. Telling off Keir Starmer, that is her sweet spot. She's in the pocket. She's good at telling, but she's like strict. She's scary. Starmer, in fairness, also good on form. On good form, rather. He was like a nerd. You know, like a nerd on Mastermind does their specialist subject. Looked totally comfortable. You know, he's doing law stuff. He just sat down in that black chair. He was like, yeah, Star Wars Next Generation, Series 6 to 8. And even now, a nerd is probably going to go, didn't even get to Series 8. But she got him, she asked clear questions, and he gave clear answers, right? And he committed to quite a lot of stuff, which was surprising and sort of good for him in the moment, but more of which later, there was a development afterwards, which I'll get to. At one point, he did say, I'm going to have to double check that, which just felt like a very Keir Starmer thing to say. Just got to double check. And it did make me think, actually, that's a pretty smart move. I don't know why more MPs don't do that and just go, you know what, I don't actually fucking know that. It's quite a human thing to do. But, you know, he committed to a fair amount of stuff. Mostly he seemed on solid ground. There was one moment where I just wonder if something slightly Freudian came out. Because the inference is there is that there were certain meetings where it's not clear what was discussed in the meetings and who lent on who to provide an answer to the CPS that wasn't quite enough for them to go ahead with the prosecution, right? And by the way, I'll get to why I don't think. I know right now you maybe don't give a shit about the Chinese spy thing. I get that. And I'll get to the reasons why in a sec. But just as a kind of process, it was interesting. And Starmer said something I sort of thought that might be telling. And he said, as he was lecturing Kemi Badenoch, he said, well, you know, she should know that it will work on the basis of what could be proved. And it was the closest Starmer has ever got to sounding like a Bond villain stroking a little white cat on a swivel chair in a volcanic island. What could be proved, Mr. Bond? I feel like there's something there. You know, the DPP wrote to MPs. Is it enough for people to lose their jobs? I don't know. You know, Jonathan Powell, safe for now. But anyway, I think Kemi, because of the statement Starmer gave, she sort of ran out of road a little bit. After three questions, you could hear her voice dry up a little bit. She kind of, you know, she could have just gone bank, I suppose, like Weakest Link, and just gone, right, I'm just going to talk about tax now. She had a couple of good lines in there where these spies were charged under the Tories, let off under Labour. Good line, whoever come up with that. But I think that the feeling at the end of PMQs was slightly deflated for the Tories, because halfway through, it was like, you know what I mean? He was up against the ropes. She was landing headshots. You know, he was blocking well, but she was still on the attack. But it fizzled out a bit. But here's the truth, right? I think she was right to stay on it, because actually, outside nerds like me, no one's going to remember Kemi Badenoch running out of steam at question time. No one's going to remember that, right? But equally, Keir Starmer being across his brief isn't going to go viral. Is it? Yeah, look, 10 times Keir Starmer was in across certain facts. It's not a thing, is it? But you just, if somebody said to her, and this would have been a smart thing to say, you might as well get him to just commit to as much stuff as possible, right? Just even if it feels awkward, just keep going at it, and he might just say something, just like Boris did with Partygate. And, you know, it might fizzle out, but let's see what happens in the future. And so it ended like, it was like one of those football matches where it's 3-3 at half time. They go back to the studio, go, oh, where's this going next? This could be one of the classics. And it ended 3-3. But the plot twist, right? So later Wednesday evening, it come out. Oh, by the way, should just deal with why the public don't give a shit about this, firstly. You might, but broadly speaking, I would imagine, I don't know why people listen to this podcast. That's not a great marketing tool, even not as good, almost as good as my Aldershot pitch. But maybe like you stay across your politics, but you like hearing jokes about it. Or maybe you find this is a way of staying across it that is less boring than the other stuff, right? But I sort of get that the Chinese spy thing hasn't landed because it doesn't have the grubbiness, does it? It doesn't have the pedos, the Epstein's Islands, the free glasses. I mean, you think about the great spy scandal of our time. You know, well, not of my time, but Profumo affair just sounded. Profumo just sounds like a new aftershave, you know, Profumo for men. And Christine Keeler just sounds like sexy, and she was a beautiful woman. You know, there's that famous photo of her I've forgotten the other girl's name. But the, you know, it was sexy, wasn't it? It was high level. It had sex in it. That's what this scandal needs. It needs sex. It needs something to come out like a grubby detail. Like halfway through, maybe one of the meetings, somebody was rude to the Uber Eats delivery guy. It needs something like that. Or somebody got sexted. Oh, just something to do with sex. That's what this needs for people to give a shit. But there was a big development after PMQs. And it was that Starmer said, I'm going to release the witness statements. And everyone thought, that was why it fizzled out, because everyone thought, oh, right, maybe he's fucking in the clear, fine. And they come out, and there's three of them, one of them under the Tories, two under Labour. And there's certain similarities in tone to both of them. But, and this is from, oh, fuck, this is where it gets so hard to follow, the security advisor guy, something Michael Collins, mate, did he lead the IRA? I don't know. But in the second and third ones under Labour, he said, look, China definitely a threat. But in both of them, it's like, but also business, also good for business, but definitely a threat, but also good for business. And in it, he kind of echoes some of the language that the Labour Party were using exactly at that time. So, look, I don't know. Like, it feels like something's gone on here. Will the public ever fully tune into it? Maybe not. Is this another case where only reform can win, where Labour and the Tories, it's like a fucking like illegal dogfight? And they just sort of scrap each other to death and the reform game. Because it just feels like, you know, I don't think there's going to be a clear winner or loser here. I would say watch this space, but I feel like all of you have got much more important things to do. Okay, that is the Breaking News podcast. Please don't beat me up if you see me in Aldershot. And I will be back next week. Who have I got next week? Oh, yeah, really good. Pierre Novelli, brilliant comic. He does, I think he does Frank Skinner's radio show. He did. I think he does the podcast as well. Just really intelligent, smart, funny guy. I hope you have a fantastic weekend and long live Aldershot.